You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, scripture reading today is in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Okay, yeah, stop 21. That's it. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's go ahead and open up the prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, we pause now to study your word. We thank you for the completeness of it and the fact that you told us it was complete, the fact that you made the mystery complete, the word of God, and the mystery was given specifically to us. We pray that we hold that truth very evident in our lives and our Christian walk and in our fellowship with other Christians. We pray that we be encouraged to share that word, because that's the specific calling you gave us, to make all men see what that fellowship of the mystery is. And the fact it's a glorious truth that your Son, Christ Jesus, has put in place for us in the heavenlies far above all principalities and powers. Lord, now we're going to take a few moments out here to get in the Word. We pray that this lesson brings glory to your Son, Christ, and builds us up in a faith that's most holy. So we pray now that you take care of the lesson. If there's any error, we pray that you strike it out and keep only that which is truthful in our hearts. So we thank you now, for it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Yesterday, March 17th. I don't know if anybody is Irish. I certainly don't think anybody is Catholic in here. But March 17th is a glorious day for the Irish Catholics in the world, because they tend to celebrate a little holiday called St. Patrick's Day. Now, I have to admit, I got up yesterday. I went to my Weight Watcher meeting at 7 a.m. It was really a great meeting because I lost 4.2 pounds. So, yeehaw, you know. So, I've lost 40 pounds altogether since last August. So, you probably can't see me because I'm so skinny. So, I'm taking a little moment out here to celebrate. Well, when I got up, I didn't think about St. Patrick's Day at all. And it wasn't until somebody asked me if I was wearing green that hit me. This is St. Patrick's Day. You know, and I have a friend from college. His name was Patrick Allen Sims. He was my roommate. And his birthday was on March 17th. And I often wondered if his parents came up with that name when he was born or after. On March 17th, there was an overwhelming desire to name him Patrick. Well, you know that there's a history behind St. Patrick. Most people think the history involves green beer, the color green, snakes, Ireland, any number of things. Well, I put a little the history together here. You know, it's funny that Maywin Suckett is actually St. Patrick's name. So Maywin Suckett had some good news. Now, of course, it had nothing to do with good luck. But all we think about from St. Patrick's Day is good luck. Well, let's talk about the history of March 17th and St. Patrick's Day. They certainly celebrate it by wearing green clothes, drinking green beer, participating in parades. My son Carter is in New York right now, and apparently there was a really big parade in New York. in the paper, like on page 4 or 5 this morning, they talked about Oklahoma City's St. Patrick's Day Parade. So it didn't make the front page, but certainly we had one. Well, if you look at his name, Maywood Suckett, he adopted the name Patrick, or Patricus, becoming a priest. He was a Roman Briton. He was born around 1450 A.D. He died March 17th, 493, and that's kind of disputed. They weren't necessarily sure when he passed away. Well, he was traveling at the age of 16. He was brought to Ireland. Now, there's a little map here for you if you don't know where Ireland is. If you think of the United Kingdom, you know where London is. There's a little island off to the west of the United Kingdom that's an island called Ireland. Now, it's used to be part of the United Kingdom, but they decided to make it a sovereign country. But still, you see a little line up there. That part of the Northern Ireland is still part of the United Kingdom, but the southern part of Ireland is an independent country. Now, I didn't think that was a big deal until I went over there. So, having been over there a couple of times, I found out it was a really big deal, because to Ireland, the Irish are really sensitive about being separated from the UK. So, you know, for me, you know, I didn't know much about Catholics. I didn't know much about UK politics. So I said, why are you all guys Catholic around here? And why are you separated from the United Kingdom? you might as well just kick somebody, you know? So I learned that the Irish have great pride in being independent from the UK. And the fact that the history of the UK was that Irish was more or less conquered and oppressed in all the kings through the history. So, in a sense, they're trying to establish being Irish as a really important separate fact. Well, basically, Maywood Suckett had very little education. He later was trained as a cleric in France. His occupation was a sheep herder for the place called Milkew on Slemish Mountain in country Antrim. He became later a preacher and baptizer and bishop. Well, his achievements, he posthumously became Ireland's patron saint and was responsible for the conversion of Ireland to Christianity. So his publications, things he wrote, were the Epistle to Corticus Confessio. And his interests or hobbies were preaching, writing, traveling, church building, hill walking. He once spent 40 days of Lent on Crow Patrick. His legacies are Pota Pádraig, that stands for Patrick's Pot. It's the name given to the measure of whiskey to be taken on St. Patrick's Day. Tradition dictates that a shamrock to be floated on the whiskey before drinking, hence the expression downing the shamrock, or drowning the shamrock. Now, the shamrock was a tool reputedly used by St. Patrick to illustrate the Holy Trinity to convert the Irish pagans to St. Patrick's Blessed Babe, also known as the Lorica. This was the hymn said to have been used or sung by Patrick and his followers on the pilgrimage to Tara as they attempted to put stop to pagan ritual. Now, St. Patrick Day parades, contrary to popular belief, this tradition did not originate in Ireland. The first St. Patrick's Day was in America, was in 1737, hosted by the Charitable Irish Society of Boston. Today, festive parades are all over the world for no more sinister purpose than raising your glass to the saint and celebrating Irishness. Now, a wee bit of fun below, if I say that properly, that's a wee bit of fun below. The reek, every year, thousands of pilgrims, many in bare feet, climb the 2,500 feet to the peak of Crow Patrick to pay homage to the St. Patrick's Christian mission in Ireland. Legend says that it was here that the St. Ragged's Bell and the snakes of Ireland fled. He was tremendously conscious about the lack of education offered first to his inability to express his thoughts clearly in his Confessio, written in the Sims of St. Patrick. But every day, Every 17th day of March is proclaimed as St. Patrick's Day. So there are certain myths about St. Patrick's. He used a shamrock to explain the Trinity. This appeared to me not true, but the shamrock was traditionally worn in Ireland as a symbol of the cross. He drove the snakes out of the country. Ireland never had snakes. But the snake was a metaphor probably used later to represent paganism. He was the first to preach the good news in Ireland. It is known that there were Christians in Ireland before his time. So, in America, St. Patrick's Day is basically a time to wear green and party. First American to celebrate St. Patrick's Day was in Boston, in Massachusetts, on 1737. And the saying goes, on this day, everybody is Irish. Over 100 cities now hold St. Patrick's Day parades, the largest held in New York City. Green is associated with St. Patrick's Day because it is the color of spring, Ireland, and the shamrock. Leprechauns are also associated with this holiday, although I'm not sure why. Leprechauns of legend are actually mean little creatures, with the exception of one little Lucky Charms guy. You may see him on certain commercials. He runs out, oh, my Lucky Charms, they're magically delicious. You may have seen them that way. They were properly added later on because capitalists needed something cute to put greeting cards. Well, what's good luck on St. Patrick's Day? Well, finding a four-leaf clover, that's double the luck it is usually. Wearing green, school children must have started a little tradition on their own. They pinch classmates who don't wear green on this holiday. I always remember growing up being afraid of not wearing green if I get pinched. And kissing a Blarney Stone. You know, if you look in the dictionary, the definition of luck, it says here that's a force that brings good fortune or adversity, since you have either good luck or bad luck. The events or circumstances that operate or against or an individual. Favoring chance, this acronym would be success. Further on, to prosper or succeed, especially through chance or good fortune, usually used without, or to come upon something desirable by chance, usually used without, on, or when to. Well, you know, usually nowadays, I think we feel that a sign of good luck would be to win the lottery. I've never entered the lottery, but it'd be a good sign of good luck if I won it. So, if you turn the page. Now, our trip over to Ireland was in October of 2003. So, I had a business trip, and I also took my family. So, I went to the Blarney Castle, because I wanted to see the Blarney Stone. I wanted to make the pilgrimage to see what was the deal about the luck behind the Blarney Stone. Now, this picture is a Blarney Castle. It's about four stories high, and there are stairs around the middle part, so you can climb up to the very top of this castle. Now, if you see the little arrow, yellow arrow pointing to a hole, that is the Blarney Stone. Now, you know, I didn't know the Blarney Stone was up four stories high in a castle, and you had to get to it, turn the page. In order to kiss the Blarney Stone, you have to turn around, go upside down, and backwards, lean over the hole in the four-story castle, and have somebody hold on to you and kiss the Blarney Stone. Now, there's a little sign before you go up the stairs to climb to the top of this castle. If you really want a signed certificate saying that you kissed the Blarney Stone, they will sell it to you for 250 euros, which is about $3.33. Now, if you remember the picture on the previous page, if you looking up there, this is the hole that you were looking at. Now, the fortunate thing was they were smart enough to put some gratings on there, so I really don't think you could fall through. But you had to lay down on your back and kiss the Blarney Stone. You know, I went all that way, and I didn't kiss the Blarney Stone. You know, who the heck won't want to put their lips on a place where a million people had kissed this stone? You know, I said, you know what? It's probably bad luck, but who the heck cares? I'm not going to kiss that stone. Now, I took a bunch of pictures. It was beautiful. I mean, this castle overlooked land. That was just gorgeous. It was in the fall, so it's pretty much the leaves were turning color. And the funny thing was, Carter and Kathy were so afraid of being four stories high in a castle. It was really open on the inside, so you can look down, and you know, all you had was four stories down. They would, you know, walk up there, and they were holding on to this, you know. And I was sitting there going, oh, look at that, click, click, you know. So, yeah, that's one thing I learned about Europe. We typically stay open much later around here, but if it's sundown, you know, everything closes. So, that was rather fun.
None of us kissed the Barney.
So, nobody kissed the Barney Stone in our trip to Ireland. Well, you know, the word luck does not occur anywhere in Scripture. You know, we often talk about, man, I wish I was lucky, or, well, that was lucky, or, oh, I had bad luck, or I had good luck. Luck is nowhere in the life of a Christian. So basically, you shouldn't count on this force, according to the dictionary, of luck. The fact is, Christ Jesus is controlling our steps, or if we let him control our steps, we should rely on the Scripture and on the fact that the Word of God tells us that we have been taken care of. Now, I turned the word of luck into an acronym to more or less say the luck of Christ is this from Scripture. You start in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? That is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, that God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us up together in with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So the L in luck, from my perspective, stands for the love of God. Now, that last passage there in Ephesians, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's the kind of thing I want to receive. So if you call that luck, I would call it the gift of God. Now, U of luck stands for under grace. Romans 6, 12 through 15 says, let your sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. We are under grace. Now, I only have one verse here, this passage, but what a glorious thing to have this grace of God. We're in a dispensation of grace. It's an administration of grace. The mystery is delivered through an administration of grace. It's incredible. I often talk about, when I teach the class and back, often ask the kids, can you tell me the definition of grace and mercy? And I always, have to pause and think about it. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So you put your little hand in a cookie jar. What should your parents do? You should slap that hand. So the mercy is not slapping the hand. Grace is getting a cookie when you didn't deserve it. No cookie for you. Have some grace on me. Now, C in luck stands for Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, 5-6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He gave himself for a ransom for all. Now, the testification of Christ is our responsibility. Basically, we are to tell others about this sacrifice, that let people know that don't ask for good luck. Receive Christ as your Savior. Ephesians 3:19 says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." It'll literally blow your mind. Colossians 1:1-6 says, "I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are the Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since they have heard of it, that you and knew the grace of God in truth." Paul often is telling, or expressing, the thankfulness that he has for this truth that's been given to us. Now, the K in luck stands for keep what's been given to you. Now, you think, well, what does that mean? How often have we examples of things that were given to people in Scripture, but they didn't keep it? If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." That was Adam. Did Adam keep it? He didn't. Proverbs 3:19-23 says, "The Lord of the wisdom, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth; by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes; keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." That's wisdom, trying to give wisdom to young men. Let not them depart from thy eyes. How do you do that? Basically, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. So the more we're in it, the more we're swimming in this truth and we keep it in our hearts. We see in Ephesians 4:3, we're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let St. Patrick's Day be an opportunity to witness the luck of Christ to others. And tell others of the hope that is in Christ Jesus. You don't have to be named Patrick to be a saint for Christ. Look at here at Ephesians 1:17-23. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you under the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him, thy eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and the riches, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He had wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and sent Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under its feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, that little passage from 17-23 in Ephesians 1 is just power packed. If you tell somebody about the luck of Christ, you basically should let them know. You know, Paul here is trying to implore you that you might understand the revelation of the knowledge of Him, and that your eyes might have some understanding, enlightenment given to it, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, if you, I live in Edmonds, so I constantly drive Broadway Extension, and there's a billboard talking about the Powerball, and somehow it's always changing and the numbers are always going up. Now, I think it's electronically driven, so every time I head south on Broadway Extension, I see the number. I think, man, you know, really be lucky to win that. Wouldn't it be? I never enter it, but, you know, it sure would be lucky to win that. So, if there was a billboard for a Christian, if you were driving, what would the numbers say to say, man, it sure would be nice to have that? Well, Paul would probably, you know, I think, just paint a picture of Christ and the attributes of that picture would have to include everything that's written here. And I don't know how you do that. The only way you can do that is to come to Scripture and read it over and over, and you go, oh my gosh, this is so much more than that number on that billboard. Ephesians 2:18-19 says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Our citizenship is in the heavenlies. So we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, I've often talked to kids about being an ambassador and what does an ambassador mean? Well, if you're an ambassador in England for America, where does your citizenship reside? Well, you're an American citizen, but you represent America in London for the country of America. So would your behavior, being an ambassador, impact the relationship that London or the UK has with America? Yes, it would. So your behavior is important, being an ambassador for America. Well, much more so being ambassador for Christ. If our citizenship is in the heavenlies, far above all, you represent the heavenlies far above all. So let that impact you. Basically, you are an ambassador for Christ. So your behavior affects how people perceive your citizenship. Often I'm reminded of, I tend to be an aggressive driver. The only reason I know that is because Kathy reminds me every time. Now, I think I'm an aggressive driver, but I would tell you that Derek is an even more aggressive driver. You know? So, I get in the car with him and I go, whoa. But I never say anything. I have a Christian Heritage Academy bumper on my license plate on my front bumper. So if I'm tailgating somebody really close, Kathy says, they're going to see that Christian Heritage Academy bumper sticker or bumper plate or license plate on your bumper, and that's not good. And my response has been, oh, they can't read that backwards and behind and besides, I'm too close. They can't see it. Well, that is not being a good ambassador for Christian Heritage Academy. And I confess. But, you know, that's just my driving skills. Now, be it that may, your behavior during work, during school, at home, or driving, we are ambassadors for Christ. So our behavior is really important. So keep that in mind. Now, this was a scripture reading. I'll finish with this. Ephesians 3:14-21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, for he that would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So, if you were to describe the luck of Christ, you might quote this passage in Ephesians 3, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints with the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. Now, verse 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, that's the force we want to get with. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for using this acronym, the luck of Christ. But more importantly, we know it's not luck. It's the love of the Father expressed in his Son and bestowed upon us if we accept it. And we thank you for the truth that we can come to Christ Jesus and receive all these blessings. We pray that we might be an ambassador for you each and every day. So for it's in Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.